And so we'll begin by reading 127, Psalm 127. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. This song is attributed, that is, the psalm, which is sung, of course, is attributed to Solomon. And it is a psalm which we perhaps recognize quite simply as one that was probably associated with the rebuilding or building of the temple. If Solomon wrote it, it must have been prior to the exile. And we see here that it begins with really some very practical advice to those who trust in the Lord and those who want to see the work of the Lord succeed. We note that it begins in verse 1 where he says, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Within the context, of course, of the times in which Solomon and David lived, we know that there was a great deal of emphasis placed upon the family. And the family unit was a very strong unit. We might think of Abraham and of his great house, which he brought together, and how that it was so important to the strengthening and actually fortification and safety of his whole home to have as many people in his family as he did. In fact, on one particular occasion, we find that Abraham's men went off after some rogue kings who decided they would steal away Lot and his possessions, and he was able to, by stealth at night, to go against them and to retrieve Lot and the possessions and his family and to bring them back. And he didn't do it to give any credit to the various kings either that was being rebellious and so forth. But he gave credit to God. Well, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. David was famous, of course, for trusting in God, even though he had his problems. And Solomon was so favored of God that he was given great wisdom, and then he was given great wealth. And God blessed his house, as it were. We can't say that the latter end was as good as the beginning, but we find that the 40-year reign of Solomon was truly a golden age for Israel, and even the Queen of Sheba said the half had not been told when she came to see the wealth and the wisdom of Solomon. What does it mean to our homes and our churches today? Well, the example that we're given in the Old Testament often becomes a lesson to us. When it comes to a church, except the Lord builds the house of God, they labor in vain that build it. Solomon, of course, told much about vanity in the book of Ecclesiastes and what was important and what was not so important. And at the end of it, he drew the conclusion to glorify God, to keep his commandments, to know him was greater than the wealth of men and the fleeting possessions which we have for such a limited time. And so it is important. The idea of house, of course, here might refer to Solomon's temple. It might also refer to, as I said, the families to which they were seeking to be blessed with. Because the family unit was extremely important in the Old Testament, of course, to the defending of the home as well as to the longevity of the line, considering that the line, the genetic line, was so significant to the preservation of the people of God as a people and as a nation. I think it is rather sad today that families do not see perhaps the significance of carrying the genetic line as they should. Sometimes they see it only as a matter of economics. So I can afford one child, or I can afford two, or some say, well, I can't afford any. And they see no significance to the family line or heritage of the family, and I think that's a sad commentary on today's families.
More than 40% marriage.
And that's a sad commentary too, isn't it, Eric? Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain to build it. If we look at that word vain, we are reminded how the emphasis is placed there. It's not only vain as far as the building of the house, but he says, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. The word vain being used twice. And as I said, in the Old Testament, the family unit was a strong necessity. And, of course, if one was to keep the city, if one was to protect a fortification such as a city, there must be a watchman on the wall. And so it is, without the Lord incorporated in the family and in the community, then there is failure in the family as well as in the community. We see today that there is much failure in families and in communities as well. Though that seems to be pushed a lot right now, that as far as community spirit is concerned. Somehow the iron is mixed with clay in the communities. They're not as strong as they ought to be. They're built on kind of a weak foundation. And I think that's something to remember, too. If we build on the Lord, if we build on the foundation of Christ, if we build on the foundation of God, God is, and he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him, we build on a very strong foundation. But if you build on the foundation of humanism and philosophy and the various things in society that they're trying to push, it is a very weak foundation that can crumble, and in today's society, it isn't that strong. In verse 2, it is vain for you to rise up early to sit up late. Well, I think Spurgeon may have used one of the adages that speaks to this, where he says you should not burn a candle on both ends. That can be a problem. And you may have known that old saying from way back, you cannot burn the candle on both ends because you get into trouble. You just can't do it forever. You might do it for a night or two or for a short period of time, but after a while it's just going to take its toll on you, and you're not going to be able to have the strength to do the labor that you need to do. And so what does he say? To keep a strong family, to keep a strong community, we not only must build on the Lord, we must also be strong ourselves. And so in a sense, he's saying you must have a disciplined life. If you have an undisciplined life, you might just burn a candle on both ends. You might get up very early, but then you might carelessly stay up too late consistently and find that you're not able to carry on the labors that you need to do. So it is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows, for so it giveth, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. What does the Lord want us to do? Well, sleep is a good thing. God has provided it. There is the daytime and there is the nighttime. The daytime is for working. The nighttime is for sleeping. And we all perhaps have a set time when you like to go to bed, maybe 8:30, 9 o'clock, something like that. but it depends about how much daylight there is out there and how much work you need to do and how tired you have become. But I think I'd just like to say that the Lord wants us to have a disciplined life, one that has Him in view. If we have God in view, then we're seeking to do things in a way that is pleasing to God and that will honor Him. In verse 3, it says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." The fruit of the womb is His reward. Now, as you can see, each one of these verses have a lot to do with family and community. And family also has to do with children. And children are given by God. We've just been studying in the book of Genesis about how that Jacob had two wives, Rachel and Leah. And one of them was barren and the other one wasn't. And how that the women were kind of in a competition to see who was going to have the most children to please Jacob. And so we find that they even hired a few of their handmaids to accomplish that because they wanted to give Jacob as many children as possible. Well, children were very important in those days, and I believe they're still very important today. In fact, when we see a family that has four or five children, we usually take particular note, and we tend to look at them with some admiration, saying, well, you have a very nice family when you have that many children, because somehow children bring the family together. And grandparents often look to their children to say, well, are you going to provide some grandchildren for us? Because we as grandparents, we look at the children and we want them to have children because it is a blessing to the whole family. And, of course, in this particular day, the heritage of the family did, of course, depend upon the children. In fact, we may remember the certain story about Ruth and how that she came to be with Naomi, and how that there were two husbands that were, Orpha had a husband, Ruth had a husband, they died. There was no children. Children were important. Naomi couldn't bear any more children. It ended up that Ruth went back to Israel to be with Naomi, and it turned out that she also married, and she did have a son, and Obed was born, and Obed was the father of Jesse, and Jesse was the father of David. Children are a heritage from the Lord. And so we see the significance of it in the Old Testament examples, but it is just as important today. We find that to have children is a blessing from God. And verse 4, he says, as arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Well, the analogy that is carried on here between family and between community and between a foundation where one builds upon the things that God wants a family to build upon, and of the protective graces of God, we find that it was necessary to use arrows sometimes in the Old Testament to protect oneself, as well as swords. And so what does he use? He uses this analogy, as arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Well, who do you look to carry forward the strength of the family but the young? You remember when you was a young man yourself, when you were back in your 20s, and you were strong and vigorous, and who did your father call upon to go out and get the wood, or to split the wood, or to do some other tasks that you might have had to do? But the young, they were asked to go do it, because they were vigorous and strong. Well, we know that that is true also in the Old Testament family. It was necessary to have the young. The young were the ones who were able to be defenders, to grow up and to be strong and to be faithful. And in this particular psalm, of course, the emphasis is in the Lord. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And so we need those elements, those aspects of family, aspects of foundation and faith, that will prove the Lord's work to be successful. In verse 5, happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. This also carries the same analogy. The quiver, of course, was the receptacle where arrows were kept. The young are the arrows of the family, able to do the mighty feats. David had his mighty men of valor, and we find that men of God were significantly used of the Lord. In fact, there was one woman who had an adversary, Peniah, and that woman's name was Hannah. And she looked for a child. She longed for a child. She grieved because she did not have a child. And God gave her the promise of a child, and she bore a son, and his name was Samuel, and he became a great defender of the faith, a great defender of the house of Israel for God. And so we should remember how that these things specifically speak to not only the foundation that God would have his people lay, but the kinds of families that are blessed of God, the kinds of youths that are used of God, and the kind of people who recognize it, but men of God who want to have an heritage, women of God who want to bear sons that would please God and train them up. And there are a number of examples, of course, of godly women who have done this with their children. Suzanne Wesley and others like her, who became great teachers of their children, and that they carried forth, of course, the hope of the families through the godly children that were raised up. I'll close with this comment by Benjamin Franklin. This thought was interesting. I read this in some of the resources that I had. This is what Benjamin Franklin had to say about a house. And, of course, he's talking about the United States when he's speaking in this particular case. He says, "Except the Lord build a house. In the beginning of the contest with Britain, when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayers in this room for divine protection. Our prayers, sir, were heard, and they were graciously answered. All of us who were engaged in the struggle must have observed frequent instances of a superintending providence in our favor. To that kind providence we owe this happy opportunity of consulting in peace on the means of establishing our future national felicity. And have we now forgotten this powerful friend, or do we imagine we no longer need his assistance? I have lived for a long time, 81 years, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of man. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings, that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this, and I also believe that without his occurring aid, we shall proceed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. We shall be divided by our little partial local interests, our prospects will be confounded, and we ourselves shall become a reproach and a byword down to future ages. And what is worst, mankind may hereafter, from this unfortunate instance, despair of establishing government by human wisdom, and leave it to chance, war, or conquest. I therefore beg leave to move that henceforth prayers, employing the assistance of heaven and its blessings on our deliberations, be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed to business, and that one or more of the clergy of this city be requested to officiate in that service. Benjamin Franklin's speech, Convention for Forming a Constitution for the United States, 1787. Well, every once in a while, somebody reminds others that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. This little house here is no different. We must employ God to build it and to keep it, protect it, sustain it, to bless it, that we may know that it is something of God. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank you that you are the one who blesses those things which are of you. Lord, our own efforts are not good enough. Our own ideas and our own schemes and those things which we might incorporate cannot long endure. But a foundation which is built upon Christ and that which is of God is one which is most profound and sovereign to change hearts and lives and to build a work that will endure. We pray, Father, for your blessing upon this place and upon our efforts, that it may be to the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen.